The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
This premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Alongside Bear, Trey Wallace, I'm Russell Smith, Parker Pewitt on quality control this afternoon. We are jam-packed today. Lots to get to. We'll be having a couple of VFLs on the show today. Just kind of the way the cookie crumbled. Coming up here just a few minutes, Jabari Davis, friend of the show, going to jump on. He's got a football camp coming up this weekend he wants to talk about. I'm sure we can get into all other manner of hijinks with juice. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, one of the all-time greats, what did he do? All he did was score. Joey Kent will join in the 4 o'clock hour. You believe it's almost been, Bear, 20 years?
Yeah.
Since.
We've gotten older, man.
It has been 25 years.
Yeah.
Since JK took it to the house on play number one.
Is that play number one on the Mount Rushmore? There's four Tennessee plays. I figure it's that one, Jeff Powell in the Sugar Bowl, Peerless Price in the National Championship game.
It's probably
and
my
Al Wilson swallowing whoever that Florida quarterback was in 98.
Who was that quarterback?
Well, they were rotating Jesse Palmer and Doug Johnson play of that game.
Yeah. I mean, he brutally assaulted both of them that night. It was incredible.
Joey Kent, 80 yards against Bama in 95, might be my favorite Tennessee football play of all time.
I was there. That was neat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was
pretty
cool.
How old were you?
I had to be, it was 95, so I was 10.
You imagine a little 10-year-old Trey Wallace with a beard
Trey
rolling in there.
I do picture like Trey coming out of the womb with
buying
a
alcohol,
fully bearded. it's pretty awesome. I've said before, like my favorite. Everybody says, "Oh, you're a longtime Tennessee fan. You grew up in the '90s. Like the '98 Florida game must be your favorite game. The national championship must be your favorite game." It's probably my favorite season, and those memories are special, no doubt. But like my favorite games are the 95 Alabama game and probably the miracle at South Bend are probably my two favorite, like, just Tennessee games.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard there. The miracle at South Bend, it was the miracle at South Bend, but, man, I mean, if you go back and look at the record books, when we beat Alabama, we usually don't beat them by more than a touchdown. We bent them over that night.
It was so
we
cathartic.
We made them like it.
It was so cathartic because, like, and at the time, you know, I was 15, and, like, I had never seen Tennessee beat Alabama because the last time it had happened, I think, was in 86, and that was before I started paying attention to Tennessee football. So, like, it just seemed so – the streak was only 9 years, but to a 15-year-old,
it had been maddening at that point. Remember, 94,
like, it's longer
we felt
now.
Like,
what is it now? It's like 12?
It's like 12 or 13.
Like,
I think they broke the record last year, and they tied it.
But it doesn't seem to me right now – like, that streak seemed longer because it was a greater proportion of my life, right? This is frustrating, no doubt, but it's like there are so many other frustrating things going on. I don't even put that much stock into this current streak.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what it is. It's because we aren't competitive with them anymore. Back then, there were games where it was maddening. Like, we should have beaten them.
We were better so many times.
Oh, God. But then to have Joey Kent out of Huntsville, Alabama, just come out there and slap the entire state of Alabama across the face as hard as he could with that catch. Because remember, what was it? He caught the ball. Like what? Maybe it was like a shallow crossing route, wasn't it? I mean, I know the story is Peyton came out there and his eyes lit up when he saw the defense they were in and he changed the play. And then Kent just, I mean, he runs like a 5 yard and then he crosses and then they weren't catching him, man.
And Joey Kent was
across
a great,
the middle. Yeah.
He was a great player, but he was not known for his breakaway speed.
Well, he was running like
That'd have been Marcus Nash, I think, with the breakaway speed
or Peerless.
Yeah,
it was
Peerless had a.
It was a just such a great moment, and like I remember, even like we got up 21-0 in the first quarter, and still
because they damn near came back.
Just because they, it was such a mental block. You weren't sure. And they scored, and it's 21-7. We scored again. And they scored in the third quarter to make it 28-14, and the stadium was rocking. And you're like, oh, my God, here we go. This is going to be awful. And then I think it was the first play of the next series. Jay Graham went 75 yards. And yeah. It was like lights out.
Yeah.
Who was Bama's quarterback? Was it Freddie Kitchens?
Brian Bergdorf.
Brian Bergdorf. Okay, now who did Leonard Little kill on that option?
Bergdorf.
He didn't like Brian Bergdorf. Like, if I'm Brian Bergdorf and I ran in Leonard Little now, I'd probably walk the other way. I mean.
Probably.
He busted him on that play.
Probably. No, great memories. So, we'll walk down memory lane with JK coming up in hour number two. Plenty of time for your phone calls as well at 865-546-8200. Go ahead and throw things open here today on the show. Start off with some Tennessee football news here. Bad news. Boy, we are just snake bit right now with all things offensive line.
We lose another one?
Yeah.
I mean, Melvin McBride today has announced.
He's a freshman.
He hasn't practiced yet. He's retiring from football because of a medical issue. I think Tennessee's going to have a release at some point today to talk about it. But the fear is, and evidently he had some sort of heart ailment that put him out of a couple of games, either his senior or junior year in high school. Okay. Tennessee signed him anyway, and so not to play radio doctor here, but I guess that's probably what it would be.
It reminds me of the kid of Florida, the wide receiver last year. Remember who had he had the heart condition, and they found it right before the season, and he couldn't play. Oh, man, I'm slipping. He was a big-time wide receiver. It kind of – and I'm not trying to say what it is or what it was. I'm not going to put that out there, but kind of lines up here where you have to take, unfortunately, a back seat and figure out something else to do. So Tennessee can use that as a medical hardship, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the thing, I was reading some different things about it. And
was there a limit on medical scholarships?
That's a good question. If there is, we got to be getting close. God. Tennessee has 6 offensive linemen just in the past couple of years retire because of medical hardships, right? You want to keep count here for me, Bear?
Yeah.
Jack Jones, who would have been good.
Oh, he would have been incredible.
Chance Hall, who would have been good.
He could have grown cartilage in his knees.
Devontae Brooks, who, we'll never know. Just never had that much of an opportunity. Tanner Antonutti, never really played much. Eric Crosby. And now Melvin McBride. That's 6. That's not even counting Trey Smith, who may or may not.
Yeah, because I mean, Trey's apparently got the kind of thing where, it's not like a playing through pain, or you got a bad ankle or a bad knee and whatever. I mean, his is, you can throw a clot and die.
Yeah, and that's what people say. Well, you take a gamble on a guy who has an ACL or something coming out of high school. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get the kid in and he plays for you, but he's not what you hoped he would be in the recruiting process. He gets back to 4.5 speed, but he doesn't get back to 4.4 speed, and that's a big difference.
No, it is. I agree with you. And you have to take – sometimes you have to take flyers on these guys because
But this is different because he never even played.
Exactly. So
he's a Pruitt recruit.
Yeah. So you look at it and you have to wonder, okay – what can Tennessee do now potentially with an open spot? Probably give that scholarship to somebody that's on campus, I guess you could say.
You have to because you signed him. You don't get it back for it counts against last year's 25. It's done. It doesn't count against the 85 number, but it counts.
So you might as well just give one of the walk-ons. It's the best walk-on.
That's all you can do.
Scholarship. Or one of the kicker, just somebody.
That's all you can do.
Whoever's showing out, working hard.
Yeah. And so we'll see. But, just another kind of
Huh. And it's too bad he couldn't give it to was that you yesterday, Trey?
Which one?
He could just walk down to Barnes' office and say, here.
Yeah.
You take this right here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Can we use that for Joseph at Belisle, who's apparently on campus right now as we speak, visiting? Can we use that for Kerry Blackshear so we don't have to run some poor schmuck off?
I feel like as the guy, the representative of the drive down there on campus, Trey, you ought to go down there and ask him.
I think that it would be smart for them just to say, hey, kid, look, I'm going to need you to come over here and work out with the football team a little bit. Need you to be active. Need you getting some photos. And then you can go play basketball.
I'm telling you right now, they could go just grab Eve's Pons and put him on the damn football team. They get more for their money using a scholarship that way than on the basketball court.
Wesley Hall said, can we give that scholarship to Barnes? That's
yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Just hand it over.
Yeah. We need an extra one.
Yeah, but what would Coach Pruitt say now? You know what I mean? That's the
– Where would you put Pons on the football field? The tight end? Wide receiver?
Defensive back.
Linebacker. If it's Pruitt, he's putting a – well, always wanted a French linebacker. Think it would be really good. We fix him up with some crepes, maybe get a baguette, get him one of those berets. I've often thought about wearing a beret on the sideline to kind of stand out. You know, it could be like my calling card, if you will. A lot of other schools got a coach and a visor, got a coach and a ball cap, or got a coach with no hat at all. I could be the beret coach.
But, Coach, what about your head? I don't want it to get sunburned.
Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah. No, it's tough, man. Now, it changes next year's recruiting equation, right? Because you kind of have to take another offensive line. People were thinking, we'll probably take four offensive linemen. You took five last year. You'll take four this year. Now you kind of have to take five next year, I think.
Yeah, no, I think you do. You have to fill these spots now. That's Tennessee's big position right now.
Lines, both
offensive
of them.
Line and defensive line, just straight up. You've got to go find these hosses. And they're doing a good enough job at getting defensive backs and wide receivers and linebackers. But, man, you got to start shoring up on the front. So,
we have no depth at all.
No, not
we need to go eight deep in the offensive line, 300 plus.
What's the player you're going to switch from defensive line to offensive tackle?
I think I don't think they're going to have to do as much of that this year. You might just have to rely on walk-ons for practice depth, but I think we still have enough scholarship players to where we shouldn't have to be relying on walk-ons to actually play next year.
Yeah, I agree.
But the thing here's what it does is, so you signed five and now McBride's gone. We feel reasonably sure that Darnell Wright and Wanye Morris are going to be good players. What it means is the other two you signed, Art Perigny and Jackson Lampley, those guys have to work out.
You pretty much got three positions that are potentially shored up on the offensive line. You got Brandon Kennedy, you got Darnell, and then you'll have Wanye. So get the other two spots now.
I'm telling you, going into next year's class, I don't see how Cooper Mays shouldn't be the main focus.
I mean, think about a Tennessee offensive line with Wanye, Darnell, and Cooper Mays. And then Agar Depot.
I think – huh? Are you trying to say Art Perigny?
That got to.
I think Cooper Mays is one of the focuses. I think Chris Morris in Memphis is probably the focus.
Agreed.
At offensive tackle right now. You've got Spraggins. Elvis Dumervil's nephew is in campus on an official visit right now. Yeah, his name is Marcus Dumervil. He's a four-star from the legendary St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale.
Home of Tim Tebow.
So that could be
Elvis Dumervil.
Elvis Dumervil's nephew.
He was a badass player.
Yeah. It's
one of the all-time greatest names, Dumervil.
Which is weird because you remember Dumervil, like, he was not a very big guy by NFL standards.
No, but he was very – very productive from what I remember.
Heck yeah, he was. And
he's a beast.
But this kid, they say he's 6'6", 300, everything you want for. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're
– that's his brother's son.
Or sisters.
Not if his last name is Dumervil.
It's a good point.
Well, what if she's not married?
So, that's just one option to kind of keep in mind there. Plus, it would be pretty good to have a pipeline into St. Thomas Aquinas.
Any foothold we can get in Florida and South Florida is never a bad thing.
I don't know how much Chris Winkie's using his IMG connection lately.
I don't know that he's really used it that much since he's been here. Who is Chris Winkie? Who is freeloading Seminole Chris Winkie landing?
Oh, here we go. Oh, my God. Here we go. What did you do, Trey?
Just tell him.
Dang it, I didn't mean to.
Just tell him pack his that stupid Heisman trophy.
That's nice.
And he can just go to the house.
That's good.
He ought to call Al Wilson and the rest and Fred White and all those guys off that team and thank them that he can still walk upright just by his – he should be thankful that he didn't have to face our guys that night.
Utterly
He'd have been in a wheelchair. Chris Winkie.
Tennessee just officially announced Melvin McBride's retirement.
What'd they say? Did they say anything
specific? Tennessee football head coach Jerry Pruitt announced Wednesday that freshman offensive lineman Melvin McBride will retire from football due to personal medical condition that was discovered during his pre-participation physical after his arrival on campus. He will remain on scholarship with the Vols, and he will continue to be a part of the program.
I mean, we just can't catch a break on the offense.
So the kid
let
me get this. So the kid gets here, goes through his initial physicals.
This must have been what it was.
And they did all his cardio workup. Is that what? What they're saying?
Pretty much.
No, that's not at all what they're saying. They said personal medical reasons.
Personal
they're not giving any hint to it. But this is all speculation.
Yeah, it's total speculation. But it can only be a handful of things where they look at you and tell you you are done playing football.
Yes.
It's either usually, severe spinal stenosis or some kind of heart condition.
I love it when Dr. Bear diagnoses.
He's not bad.
It is awesome, man. I mean, Dr. Phil's got nothing on Dr. Bear.
Not a damn thing. What do you want to know, Russ?
I got this thing in my lower back right now. It's kind of like a sharp stabbing thing. Like
I've told you
my left butt cheek.
You've got that's sciatica.
No, but it doesn't go down my leg. It
doesn't matter.
Sciatica goes down your leg.
It can also stop in your buttocks or your hip.
Are you making this up right now?
No, I've got severe stenosis, and I've got sciatica.
So you've got both?
Huh?
You've got both stenosis and sciatica.
Well, yeah. I mean,
is that self-diagnosed
nerves,
or did an actual doctor
No, like an actual
that?
Neurosurgeon diagnosed it. Yeah. Sometimes I have shooting pains in my butt. Sometimes they go all the way down to my toes.
Can we get some doctors to call in and get this, handled?
Why? We've got Dr. Bear.
Well, I get
Who could
that.
Possibly be better than Dr. Bear?
An actual physician? I'm just saying. I mean, am I wrong, Russell? Is there?
I'm not a doctor.
Are there more than a couple of things that would prevent you from playing football? Just
I don't
like
know.
That? Like, they aren't going to let you even set foot on a field.
I don't know.
It's
five things, 10 things, 15 things?
It's the same. I don't want it to the same situation, but something that like Trey's going through right now. Where they've got to figure.
Oh, Trey Smith, not you. I thought you were just going third person on us all.
I didn't go all third person on you. But university, the family, you got to sign off on these things, and it's also an insurance thing as well. And what will happen if Trey Smith decides he wants to come back play? If the doctors say he can come back play football, if the family decides he can come back play football, he's going to have to sign another waiver like he did last year, saying he can't hold Tennessee. In any kind of
anything that might happen on the field.
Exactly.
We joke around, but that's got to just be devastating news. I mean, here, young man coming from Memphis he did not have a ton of highlight. I mean, he had SEC offers, but I think Tennessee was kind of his best offer. Get to go play for the in-state school. Jeremy Pruitt recruits you. You show up on campus. I mean, you pack up your room, all your belongings. You got your Foot Locker. You ride over to Knoxville. There's
right at the
Moose
beginning of
to
your...
greet you as you come in. You get set up in your dorm room. You got your gear. They give you some cool Nike swag. And you go to the doctor for your team mandate, physical before practice, before camp starts, before workout start, and then you get this kind of news. It's got to be devastating.
Michael, here's something on this too, and I've always wondered this. When these kids come in to either camp or they come in to official visits, wonder why colleges aren't doing the way the NFL does and giving them full medicals when they come in.
Like on a visit?
Yeah. Give them a medical. The same way that the each NFL team does with players to come in for visits and all that jazz. They give them full medicals. I mean, you know.
I see what you're saying. It makes sense on the surface, but put yourself in the prospect situation too. Like, you're an elite prospect. You want to go visit at least five schools, maybe 10. Do you want to go see a doctor and do the same physical every single time?
I get that part. But what I'm getting at is before a full scholarship papers are signed, and I know this is not going to sound the nicest in the world, but if full scholarship papers are signed, go through the medical issues, go through the screenings, if anything. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I mean, well, this, yeah, I do, but it's just,
and I
don't, it's
a hard
thing to do.
Harsh way. I'm just being realistic.
I mean, it's basically what these camps are, right? I mean, Tennessee's got another camp coming up tomorrow, I believe. And
I'm going to go pop up.
It's a meat market. It's a chance for the coaches to eyeball these kids and scrutinize them, run them. How fast are they? How well do they bend? How flexible? You know,
how fluid are their hips?
Yeah,
all that stuff.
Fluid hips. You know, all that stuff. And I mean, I suppose you could add on to that. Hey, what was the kid's name? Hey, Doomerville. You come over here and bend a little bit for me. See how you bend. I want to see how you bend.
You get down your 3-point stance.
I seen your high school film. I want to see how you bend now here at camp. All right. If you could run this 40-yard dash. And by the way, Elvis. I love Elvis, by the way. Big fan of the King. If you want to step right over here, we got a doctor. He wants to see how big you are. He wants to take your blood pressure, take your vitals.
Need you to cough twice.
Wants you to pee in a cup. He's going to feel your junk now. All right.
Just sit back.
And it's all right. Just take your pants off. Doctor will be in shortly. Why do you have to take your pants off, by the way? Can I just drop them when you got to do that? Like I have to take them off,
yes.
Like all the way,
yes.
And sit there on the contact paper.
You could be
for
hiding
20 minutes
something.
While I wait for the doctor to come in.
Not hiding something, but I mean, they tell you to, you know, you got to spread out. And let them.
What? What doctor are you going to?
Wait.
You know, you're going to stand there and with your legs tight together and your pants. You got to take your pants off to get the exam.
Why?
You have to put one of those thingamajiggers on.
Hey,
the hospital gown.
It's like, look, man, you can do – I'm wearing a T-shirt and jeans right now. You can do everything you need to do for a standard physical to me as I'm clothed right there. And if you have to see my boys down there, that's okay. Like, I'll lower my pants and then I'll pull them back up.
But
I shouldn't
nicely,
have to take
Doc.
My shoes off and take my pants off and, like, sit there in a gown.
Oh.
Like you're going through a TSA screening.
Exactly. I just want to make sure my vitamin D levels are good. I don't need to.
You want to get all up in there.
Yeah, you got to get close. Putting those gloves on, man.
How old are you again?
38. Yeah, I haven't had the other one. The one you're talking, like, okay, yeah, listen,
that's
man.
When the doctor visits, take a dark turn. Dark. Got to get it done.
Well, that's fine, man. That's fine. But I know that going in.
Our guy Jim Raganese convinced me of that after talking to those guys.
Yeah. Man Run will be coming up later this year. Get checked out.
We can do a No Shave November.
Especially for our African-American brothers in the audience.
Let's do that all year. No Shave
November. Yeah. No.
I grew a beard last year. Russ grew his
out
for a
second. You got a beard now?
Nah. I mean, like a full beard.
The hell, it goes to halfway to each side of the...
Yeah, I know. But it was a full-on woolly one.
Quick break. Stay with us. The drive continues. Jabari Davis going to jump in here with us. On The Drive, coming up next, it's Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Busting young Parker's chops a little bit there.
He deserves it.
Did he handle it well?
Yeah, look at him.
40 for all the NFL scouts.
He's been hanging with me for a couple. He's toughening up, aren't you, Parker? That right.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. We got friend of the show, Jabari Davis, VFL from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Joining us here this afternoon on The Drive. What up, Jabari?
How you guys doing?
Hey, man, we're doing well. What about you?
Man, I've been ripping and running, trying to put this football camp stuff together, man. I've been grinding over the last couple of weeks, man, just trying to make a first-class event for the kids and for the coaches.
Very good, very good. So tell us a little bit about your camp, when, where, how folks get registered, that sort of thing.
Well, this is the second year of the Legend of Tennessee football camp. You know, we started it last year, man. The main goal behind this camp was to get a lot of former balls back together. Guys that I played with, guys that played in the 80s, guys that played in the 90s, even guys that played in the 70s. You know, the NFL Shield is a brotherhood. You know, we stand for, you know, us being together off the field and supporting one another just as much as we fought battles inside Neyland Stadium and give back to the community and give kids some quality football coaching and training to help them improve their 2019 season, man. So Coach Fulmer did something similar to this before he got the AD job and ran all of his events.
Hey, Jabari, can I jump in here for a minute? Bear, put him see if we can reconnect with Jabari. If he's on a – an earpiece or something like that, because that's just kind of a rough connection. We'll try and get up with him one more time, because he's I want to get his message out there. So that we can actually hear it. I mean, it was coming in and out, but I felt like that was 60%. I want closer to 100%.
100%.
Right? Yeah.
No, I get it.
We want to do it justice,
just
right?
Like we want from Parker running this 40 at the pro camp. 100%.
Yep, we want 100%.
Get it right, or you're getting tight. That came out wrong.
Try and, yeah.
That's what she said.
Try and get that squared away here this afternoon on the drive. We got a couple of VFLs. We'll get Joey Kent on here as well in hour number two.
Love it. Intern just walks out the door.
Did he leave? Did you piss him off?
I'm done.
Damn, Trey. I'm just trying to give the kid a friendly ribbing. You come in like a sledgehammer.
Did he just leave?
He's out there practicing his 40 time. He's
good. Walked out. Trey Wallace ran the kid off.
We'll talk about the rest. Let's get J Train back.
All right, try this again. Jabari, you there?
Yeah, y'all hear me now?
Oh, it sounds a little bit better, man. Yeah. We heard you talk about Coach Fulmer when I interrupted you there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach Fulmer started something similar to this called Coach Fulmer Hall of Fame camp that he was doing up in Gatlinburg, and I ran his camps for him. So when he took the AD job and wanted to continue to do things in the community like this. And like I said, make sure that we're giving back to these kids, coaching these kids up right. You know, all these kids want to go to Alabama and go to Clemson now. And, you know, teach these kids about Tennessee tradition, you know, and what it takes to be a successful student athlete in this state. And if their goal is to, you know, run through the checkerboard one day, we just want to give them, you know, all the blueprints of what it takes to be successful playing at that level. So, you know, I reached out to some former teammates. I reached out to guys all over the state, you know, just to see if they can work. And, you know, we made it happen. And, you know, we're doing a lot of great things off the field with these kids as well. You know, we have a night where we'll be going to Dave and Buster's with the kids, hanging out with them. The Tennessee Smokies has sponsored our camp for the second year. The kids will be going to the Tennessee Smokies game that Friday, and that Saturday, the 22nd. We'll be doing some wonder work in Pigeon Forge. So they're a big sponsor as well, man. So we just want to make sure that we're just motivating these kids to be successful, coaching these kids up right, just really being a positive figure in their life.
No, that's awesome, man, because, I mean, Jabari, I know you listen to the show sometimes, and you know what we're about here. It's about fans, and we have been pulling our hair out for like 10 years now, trying to figure out what we got to do to get Tennessee back to the way it used to be. And you make an excellent point. We've got an entire generation of kids. I'm talking about kids, you know, not just high school, but like younger than 16, 15 years old, who they've never seen Tennessee be good in football. So when they dream of playing college football, they ain't dreaming of playing at Tennessee. They're dreaming of playing at Clemson, at Alabama, at Georgia. And that's 100% understandable. So kudos to you guys for at least, you know, getting out there and saying, hey, It wasn't always like this. Tennessee used to be the gold standard in college football, and we've got Coach Fulmer and Coach Pruitt back there, and we're trying to get back to that.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to educate these kids and, you know, teach them about their Tennessee football history. You know, I tell kids all the time, when you're on YouTube Googling up, you know, Fortnite tricks and try to beat games, hey, type in Tennessee football 1995.
Yeah.
Type in Tennessee football 1998. Type in Tennessee football 2000, 2001, and look at all those great plays. Look at those great teams. And it starts with those kids now. You know, our football camp, we host the ages from 6 to 14. So that's the generation that's going to be, you know, be the up-and-coming change that we need for the next 5 or 6 years. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. You know, we encourage. We'll have an autograph signing at Autographs Plus in Sevierville. We'll have myself, Tony Robinson. We have Cam Sutton from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll be in town. Cedric Houston, Gerald Riggs, Eric Westmoreland, D'Angelo Lloyd, Justin Harrell, Herman Lathers, Chris Treese, Jason Swain. Just a lot of guys, man, that are in the community doing some great things. So we'll be at Autograph Plus in Sevierville. It's Thursday, the 20th. From 6 to 7. So if any fans want to come out, say hello, get some UT collectibles signed out, stop through. I'm going to also tweet our entire schedule, what we'll be doing in the community on Twitter. So I'll tag you in it. You know, you can get that out as well. But, you know, we encourage fans to come out, say hello, kids to get registered. The website is utlegendscamp.com. And sign up for the 3-day Kodak camp. If you got any questions, I have my email address on there. And we're excited, man. It's going to be a very, very special 3 days for a lot of great kids in the community.
Jabari, this is Trey. Going in, I want to talk to you about just a second about this upcoming Tennessee football season and the offseason that these guys are going through right now with Coach Greg Fitzgerald and the strength and conditioning staff. When you look at what Tennessee has tried to do over the last, I'll say full calendar year, in building back up the program and trying to get Tennessee back to that spot where they're contending with Florida and Georgia every single year when it comes to the SEC East, how big a deal was it in your mind that they brought somebody back like T. Martin to the wide receiver coaching position, associate head coach, and them continuing to bring back, you know, you guys and have different parts of the program back just to be able for these guys to get a taste of what it was like, but also realize that this is not out of reach for Tennessee football. Yeah. This is something we've already accomplished.
I think it's very big to get T. I mean, he's a legend. I mean, what he brought as a player, what he brings as a coach, what he brings as a recruiter, but he's able to motivate guys in the locker room and able to change the culture with just his presence of, you know, being the national championship quarterback. So I definitely think you'll see a lot of leadership qualities. I mean, that football team that he played on in 98, I mean, Coach Fulmer didn't even run that football team. That football team was ran by seniors and leaders on that football team. And my freshman year, that 2001 team, those guys were taught from T, from Al, from Jamal, from Peerless to, you know, Fred White, you know, Deion Grant. So that's the reason my freshman year we almost competed for another national championship because we had leadership qualities on that team. And you're right, we haven't seen those qualities over the last 7-8 years. But, you know, getting guys back on that staff that have played at a high level, one at a high level, and able to motivate guys and teach them all the tools to be successful and, you know, get – the quality players that we had in the past. I think Jeremy Pruitt is was a really fine football coach. You know, he's already had a lot of success. He's already won championships in the SEC. I think we have the greatest coaching staff in the country on paper. You know, we just got to get these 2 or 3 recruiting classes under his belt for us to, you know, be in a position where we compete for championships. Yeah.
Jabari, another question when it comes to what Tennessee's trying to do with recruiting, and it kind of falls back to what you guys are doing, is starting to build back up the program and get it into these young mm-hmm. players' minds. But my question to you is, and I've spoken with a few people about this, and they tell me when it comes to recruiting, it's, hey, look, 5-7 is very tough to recruit with. And it's going to come when the wins come. You'll start to see some of these players commit, you know, in November and December. And they're putting this, you know, wait and see kind of thing when it comes to committing to Tennessee. When you look at what Jeremy's done, he's only been, you know, it's been a full calendar year and more. But when it comes to recruiting, what are the things that you're seeing out of this staff and the players that they're going after that you know will be able to lay the foundation for the future?
Well, I'm seeing start to offer a lot of kids early. You know, when I was playing, man, that was uncommon to see an 8th or 9th grader get an offer, you know, without having anybody at work or film or coming to a camp. But, you know, when you see some potential in a kid that already has great speed and great size at such a, you know, at a young age, even though he hasn't had an opportunity to prove himself on the field yet, but you can just see the potential, you know. So you want to build a relationship with that kid, okay, you know, send them a verbal offer, you know, even though it's not a committable or anything, but just to let that kid know, hey, that we like you and we like what we see, and if you continue to work hard, we'll make this verbal offer a committable offer your sophomore or junior year. Now that kid, you know, has Tennessee number one on his map because Tennessee showed him love before he even blew up and turned into a 4- or 5-star kid. So you got to start early with these kids. You know, the biggest thing making Tennessee successful is that, you know, you got to win in Georgia. You know, you got to win in Memphis. I mean, you got to get at least some of the top 3 or 4 kids in the state to sign to Tennessee. You know, we've been having too many kids leave right out of our backyard, man, going to Clemson, going to Georgia, going to LSU, going to Florida State. And it's understandable because kids want to win. You know, kids want to go to the NFL. You know, kids want to be the main center of the offense or, you know, be the main point of the defense, whatever. So those are things that really play a big factor in recruiting, and I hope this coaching staff can change that. You know, one thing that I see is, you know, that a lot of Georgia kids are starting to come back up here. You know, my teammate, Eric Kinsley, you know, he's responsible for that Harrison Bailey kid.
Yep.
He's also responsible for, you know, that wide receiver from Marietta as well. And he's working his butt off, you know, to get, you know, some more kids from Georgia and, you know, from his high school to come up here, you know, myself included. I work a lot of football camps. I'm around a lot of talent. Anytime I see a kid that has some potential, I'm talking to his parents, hey, you need to go take a visit. I need to hook you up with, you know, such and such. I'll make sure that you can get on campus, you know, and give Tennessee a look. So as former players, you know, we got to do our part because a lot of these kids listen to us as coaches. And, you know, it takes a village, man, to get these kids up there. You know, the Twitter does their thing as well. You know, and Ball Nation keep doing it. Keep, you know, following these kids, making the graphic designs and, you know, selling the University of Tennessee because they listen to it.
Jabari Davis with us here this afternoon. His Tennessee Legends of Tennessee football camp coming up soon. If you've got a young football player in the family, this is for ages 6 to 14. You need to go online to utlegendscamp.com. You can also email utlegendsfbcamp@gmail.com for more information. Jabari and a host of other former players are going to be at Autographs Plus in Sevierville on Thursday the 20th. That's a week from tomorrow, from 6 to 7, signing autographed memorabilia, things of that nature. Should be a great time. Last thing for you, Juice, we'll let you run. You know, you were talking about so many of the former players that made Tennessee football great in your generation and back into the 90s. We're getting set to talk to Joey Kent coming up next hour on the show. Who were the players when you were a player in 2002 to 2005 at the University of Tennessee, 01 to 04, your era? Who were the former players that you looked at and they came back to work out in the off season? And you're like, yeah, I want to be like that guy. Who were the guys that encouraged you?
Speaking of Joey Kent was supposed to work with us when we did our Middle Tennessee camp at Edgeworth High School. So Joey's a really good guy. I know we tried to get him to come up here, but he's very busy. I know he has radio stuff and he has family and kids that are into a lot of sports. But, you know, much respect to Joey Kent. But former players that I looked up to when I was playing that would come back, of course, Jamal Lewis, Travis Henry, Al Wilson, you name it, Eric Westmoreland. I mean, a lot of those guys would just come back and hang out for 2 or 3 weeks, work out with us in the weight room, work out with us in the field. You know, Peyton came back every now and then and did his thing as well. So, you know, when we saw that, that was really motivational to us to, you know, get it going, you know, keep the tradition going. I mean, look at these guys that they had as college players. I mean, look at the ways that they built for Tennessee football and just the brotherhood to just come back with us, spend time with us, and just, you know, teach us the ropes. You know, that's what we got to get back to. You know, we got to get some of these former guys that are in the NFL, come back, man, hang out, work out, you know, spend 2 weeks with these boys in the summer. You know, some of these former players get back around campus. You know, I'm a local guy, and I'm there at least once a week, you know, just hanging out, introducing myself. You know, if any kids got any questions, if any runners need any private training or whatever, man, let me know. I love to help. The more guys we get back, man, I think it'll be a lot better because, you know, these kids haven't won anything. You know, these coaches have won a lot, but these kids haven't won anything. But it takes, like I said, a village. It's going to take the coaches, current NFL guys and the former players, just wrap our arms around these guys and just keep motivating them.
Good stuff. Jabari, appreciate you coming on the show, my man. Good luck with the camp. Just let us know if there's anything else we can do to publicize on Twitter or anything like that, and we'd be glad to help you out, man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
That's Jabari Davis making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. One of the great Gator Slayers of all time, too. Jabari scored a couple of touchdowns in the swamp.
The Gator Killer. That was back when we had a running back, former first and 10 at the 10. Gave it to him up the middle 4 times. Touchdown.
Well, we talk about the running back situation, too, at Tennessee. You look at this depth chart. I mean, Jabari was 6'2", 230-ish when he played. And
God, he's like a Brahma bull.
You know, Jamal was that size. And I know those guys don't grow on trees. They're hard to find, right? But,
yeah,
just, you know, the closest thing we have is Banks, and he goes about 220, 225 probably. Maybe as he continues to work out over there, he gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah, and maybe learn how to, you know, get a can of Stick'Em. Something to hold on. I hope he's got to be more sure-footed.
Yeah.
Sure-handed.
That would certainly help Tennessee's.
I don't remember Jabari fumbling a whole lot.
Tennessee's recruiting another running back from Georgia right now. Is a 4-star kid from Hogansville, Georgia. This is a good name. Tank Bigsby.
I like it.
Tank Bigsby.
Sound about right with the
neck. Who's the last?
He's a 4-star, about 5'11", 206. But, you know, whenever I look at a running back in high school, I always add 15 pounds at least once they get to the college level.
So is Gerald Riggs the last big-time Georgia running back that we got when he out of Georgia?
Yeah. No. Gerald Riggs was from Chattanooga Red Bank. Yeah.
Okay.
His dad played for the Falcons. But Gerald was from Chattanooga, which practically Georgia, some would say. Boy, that's a good question. Last Georgia running back we've signed. I'm sure there's an alert listener right there who's.
I mean, we went, you know, Jamal and Jabari back to back. They were both number one running backs in Georgia, which pretty much meant number one running backs in the country.
People forget he played every position and a lot of quarterback too. But imagine being a high school football player in about 2007, seeing Eric Berry running downhill at you.
Yeah, he'd be pretty tripped out.
You know, wouldn't
No. Kamara. Not going to end well.
Was pointed out to me by.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good running back from Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think touches. About him because he went to he went to Alabama and then he went to JUCO route.
True. He came here via a circuitous route.
But he claims us now and we claim him.
He's pretty
to be
good.
Sure.
Yep. 5 or 6 more touches.
I don't know,
game.
Man. I think the jury's still out on him.
Okay. Just checking. No, yeah, I'll just see where your head was at.
Let's see what happens here before we crown him,
right.
Alvin
Kamara.
Like
he's a good NFL running back or anything.
Is this his last year he's playing for the discount rate as compared to his talents and skill set?
It sounds like he's probably due that eye-popping deal coming up soon.
Yeah.
He'll get it out of New Orleans.
Well, he's one of the top 5 most dynamic players in the NFL. He's a touchdown machine.
Absolutely. And the fact that they got rid of Mark Ingram, that really pissed me off because that was a nice little 1-2 punch.
Yeah, but I think they're one's freakishly talented. I'm not saying Mark Ingram's not, but it's a lot easier to replace Mark Ingram with a guy that's not going to put as big of a hit on your cap.
I agree with that.
That'll spell Alvin Kamara.
Though that former BYU quarterback back there at running back, the one that's playing tight end and wide receiver for him.
Yeah, Taylor
Hill.
You think that's what Tebow should have done when we see that guy?
Tight end.
Like if Tebow hadn't been just dead set on being an NFL quarterback, he could have.
He'd still be playing.
He'd be doing what that guy's doing, but he Tebow's roughly what, the size of Gronk, basically?
Heck, man, he might have
be
been
a couple
smart,
inches
though.
Shorter.
Tebow's made bank. He's playing baseball, having fun. He can go do TV. He can go do anything he wants. And he's not.
It doesn't take him an hour to get out of bed in the morning.
He's not like Gronk, who decided to retire at the age of 30 because his arms don't work anymore because he's played 7 or 8 years of NFL football.
Yeah.
Also won 5 Super Bowls.
He did.
I mean, I think Tim Tebow's biggest moment in the NFL was a pass across the middle to. Thomas for the touchdown against the Steelers.
I'm just saying, I think he would have been really good as a tight end. I don't know that he has any regrets.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Probably not.
Striking out every day.
Quick timeout. The Drive continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, wrap it up here. Hour number one of The Drive. It's Fox Sports Knoxville coming up. Parker Pugh will be in with a look at the top 4 at 4, including some Tennessee basketball recruiting information.
Pew, pew.
We've got Joseph at B. Lau, I believe, on campus. Parker will have the latest on that. And, of course, Kerry Blackshear coming in this weekend. Rick Barnes juggling scholarships.
It's going to be interesting. It's a shot in the arm if Blackshear commits to Tennessee. Just a big old shot in the arm.
Bear, do you have any moral qualms with squeezing a guy out this late in the game if that's what happens, if one or both of these guys want to go?
If you're squeezing a kid this late in the game, I would hope that they would make every effort to helping him get placed
in a different spot.
At a different spot and make sure that take care of him.
So you're okay with it as long as
they got Walker in at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Tennessee coaches helped with that.
I mean, as long as I don't know, man. I've got real mixed feelings about it.
It feels kind of shady, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's shady. You know why it feels that way, Russ? Because it is. It is really shady.
But this is what y'all wanted.
Yeah,
this is what we all wanted, right? We want the cutthroat basketball coach who's
and
helped.
I'm just really surprised.
Not going to have any dead weight on his roster.
Yeah, because more than the whole recruiting thing, when Barnes said he had that epiphany with his family and his daughter or daughters.
Yeah.
This is one of those kinds of things that I think that would fall under, things he didn't want to do anymore. He didn't want to, give people kit shirts is what I took from it, in addition to the recruiting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine how hard it is on him.
We're back, baby! Big-time college basketball is back in Knoxville. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.